But then on Thursday night, God said, no, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about our church. Those signs aren't turned around because we forgot to turn them back. They are there for a reason, and they turn around for a reason. But before we go there, why are you part of Shofar Christian Church? Why not the Baptists? Why not the Dutch Reform? Why not the Volle Evangelie? There's so many churches in Standerton. Why are you a part of Shofar Christian Church? Turn to the person next to you and tell them why. Now, for those of you who haven't done the Encounter 2 yet, I'm quickly going to just tell you what the name Shofar means. In the Old Testament, a shofar is a ram's horn. It is literally the horn of a sheep, a ram, that they cut off. I think the oil, I think the gas is finished. And those ram's horn had three main purposes. The first one was to actually carry the anointing oil. It was used as a flask, in a sense. When David was anointed, the oil was carried in a shofar. So the shofar carries the anointing oil with which kings are being anointed, priests are being anointed, the anointing oil. Secondly, the shofar was used to actually blow upon as a trumpet. For one of the examples is to gather the men for war, to rise up, get the people together. And that is who we are as Shofar Christian Church. We are called to get people together, to raise people up, to get them ready for war. Not physical, don't load your guns, spiritual, load your Bibles. And thirdly, the shofar was also blown when a season passed, to pronounce or call up a new season. When the king passes away and a new king is being anointed. When there's a new priest, or whenever there's a new season, the shofar was also used to declare a new season. And that's also what we're doing, declaring a new season, a new way of Christians that is going to take over the world. Amen. So we didn't just take the name Shofar and thought, this sounds very cool, sounds very spiritual, and that's why we chose the name. God really directed us. And for those of you who don't know, Shofar is about 20, well, is 22 years old today. Well, not today, this year. And in South Africa alone, there's 27 churches. But we're not just in South Africa. There is in England, there's three. In Namibia, there's a couple. There's actually 27 churches that is in Malawi that's currently joined us as well. So we're a big group. We are quickly going to watch a DVD clip that just one of the pastors in Stellenbosch, C.S. LaRue, who's head of the church plants and the missions, where he just speaks a little bit about that is happening at the moment. Okay, so when Hendrik is ready, we will watch that video clip.
It's great to be part of a church where our vision is to raise up leaders, to make disciples, and to do church planting. We should reach nations and generations through leadership development, discipleship, and church planting. And it's so exciting to see how this movement is growing and that you can be part of that. Because we want to create a culture where we know that we are not just part of a local church, but there's something bigger God is doing. In South Africa, for instance, we have 26, 27 churches, and there's so many small groups and things beginning to happen, and God is moving, and we're praying about where we should plant new churches, and we want you to be part of that, and to begin to think of, even when you move from the local church where you are, that God would use you and raise you up in a place of leadership and a place of support and a place of knowing Him. And so just what we've recently started is a small group in Peter Maritzburg, and we started in Durban. The church is growing tremendously in Durban. There's a church in PE, and we're sending pastors there soon, Barbara and Mina. And we are excited about those plans. And we just sent a couple to Kimberley. We started a small group there. And then we could talk about Centurion. We have small groups there that links with our Pretoria church. And there's so many places in Oudtshoorn where we're starting new churches. And we want to encourage you to go to our website, to begin to look and pray about when you move on, that you become part of that supportive team where you can raise us up, even if it's financially or whatever way. You know, we're also abroad. We have groups in Canada, we have groups in Perth, in Australia, we have groups in Switzerland. There's a couple moving to Germany and to the Netherlands next year. And so it's so great to connect people all over. And we would like you to send us details of people that are in places and connected with the Shofar family that maybe not be in a local church. And that's so exciting when we can become part of what God is doing. And in the Western Cape, we have lots of churches and places, and we want to encourage you and also challenge you to pray about where you can get involved in this church planting vision. Thank you. If you would like more information, or if you want to give us information of people that are in these different areas, please contact info@shofaronline.org.
You can just press pause. Okay, just a little bit back. Anyway, you'll see up there, one of our new church plants is actually Potchefstroom. That will be falling to our region. They actually want to launch a church already in September. So we're thinking about sending a couple of people to just support them during their launch weekend. To do soul winning, just really support the Porch Church. They already had their first service, and there were over 40 people there. And, you know, that is our heart. You know, I as I many times told you, I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church with an amazing Dominee Otto. He really invested a lot into my life. He was really just an example of who Jesus was. But it always bothered me that he was the only one that had to do everything. If somebody was sick, he had to go visit them. If somebody had marital issues, he had to go visit them. He married everybody. He buried everybody. He was doing everything. And people would come on a Sunday, sit down for half an hour, and then complain about, you know, the time that was too much. And then 12 years ago, I joined Shofar. I literally stumbled into a church with 8 people. There was 5 guys, and the church of 8 in 11 years grew to 500. Because not the pastor is the only person who's working, but everybody is involved. I'm so blessed with the setup guys and the band. You know, Friday afternoons at 3 o'clock, they're already here, setting up for youth. Sundays, they already show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they practice, and they do the laying out of the cables. The same is happening at the children's church. There are people who's preparing classes. There are people who's sowing into the lives of children and changing children's lives. And you know what? I'm not doing children's church. I come to youth because I like being among the young guys, but I very rarely give a teaching there. The church is involved. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. It is not one person trying to achieve everything, but it's everybody sowing. Stat says that, you know, in churches, 80% of the people do 20% of the work, and 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's not here. It's not that way here. When we had, when we were speaking about just the bad weather, I was thinking of when we had Joe Niemann over here, and just how everything rained out, but that was God's plan. But the day before, the Saturday before Joe Niemann, just that everybody, I think there was something like 30 people here hanging cloths, making pretty, you know, and that just blessed me so that we are a family. People being involved, people being a part, people taking part. Not spectators, not, you know, thinking that coming to church once in 2 months, you know, soothe their own conscience. No, there's people that is involved. There's people that's giving their lives. There's a band that has to wake up very early, walk far in the cold, but God is their reward. Okay, so, Shofar. You know that Shofar has a purpose statement, has core values. Tell the person next to you, what is our core values and what is our purpose statement? Quickly, just tell the person next to you. And take it off the slides, please. Okay, well, luckily the core values wasn't on there. Okay, our purpose statement. If you're part of the church, I really hope that it is part of your heart. Not just you know it, but it's become part of your heart, because that's what we are here to do. We are Standerton for one reason, and one reason alone. Okay? Our purpose statement is, we are here to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. We are in Standerton to reach nations and generations. That's what we are here to do. How do we do it? By making disciples, by raising up leaders, and by planting churches. The church has already been planted, but hopefully this church will grow too small very soon and we'll have to plant another churches. But we are called to make disciples. We are called to raise up leaders. But this is where the catch comes in. Whether you are a disciple or not depends on you. Okay, let me tell that again. Whether you are a disciple or whether you're not a disciple depends on you. Well, let me interrupt myself. Every first weekend of the month, we've got to either encounter one or encounter two running. Have you done encounter one? Have you done encounter two? If you haven't, by default, you've made the choice to not be discipled. And you'll have to give an account to that. We'll get to that later, but it was so amazing. I was just once again reading the story of Elijah and Elisha. How Elijah was busy plowing, Elijah comes past, put his coat on him, and walks past. There was no, please follow me. I've got this great promise for you, but just follow me. No, there was simply, here's my coat, meaning he's in my identity. You can have my identity. And then he just walks on. The same with Jesus. Jesus didn't beg his disciples, say, come, I need to, you come and do the encounters, come, I want to train you. He just simply said, I'll make you fishers of men if you follow me. Follow meaning Jesus went ahead and they had to come after him. It is your choice whether you are discipled or not. We keep on running the encounters. It's your choice. Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm a pastor. My job is not to do ministry. My job is to equip you to do the ministry. There's a couple of people who really have taken the initiative. The men's breakfast is just one example. People coming to me and telling me they want to do this, and then, okay, how can the church help? Same with the children's church. There's so many examples of people hearing what God has for them, and they're running after that. And it's not the church's... Let me tell you, many times when I was still in Shepherd Pretoria, people will come to me and they've got this great plan for youth. And then, what are you going to do about it? No. You work for the church, you do something about it. God comes and speaks to people, and they've got these great plans, but they want the church to do it. And that's not the way it works. The way it works is God speaks to you because he wants you to act on it. When you act on it, the church will try and help however we can. But the church, it says here, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, the teacher, is there to equip the saints. Who's the saints? Everybody that believes in Christ. For the work of the ministry. Not to do the work of the ministry, to equip those to do the work of the ministry. You get that? Okay. And this is where I interrupted myself, but let me read you the scriptures. Matthew 4, verse 19. Then he said to them, speaking about Jesus, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow. I can just see this in my mind's eye. How Jesus comes, and he makes those the the disciples catch this great number of fish. They all understand this is something supernatural. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now I can see the disciples standing here, the boats, the huge amount of fish, and there Jesus is walking, and he's walking, and he's walking, and they have to make the choice, Jesus or boats and fish and fishing and what they knew, what they're comfortable with. Praise God, they made the right decision and they followed Jesus. They forsook all, the Bible says. They left everything. They left the fish, they left the boats, and they followed Jesus. 1 Kings 19:19. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Once again, I can just see he's busy plowing, and Elijah comes past and he throws his mantle on him. And as I said, in biblical times, your clothing was your identity. You know, a priest wore a priestly robe. A soldier wore a soldiery uniform. A prophet wore the cloak of a prophet. So everybody could identify, you know, who he is by the clothes he wore. And he comes past and he gives him his identity, in a sense. And he said, I want to follow you, but let me just go say goodbye to my parents. And what does he do? He takes his oxen, he takes his plow. He breaks his plow, makes a bonfire, offers his oxen on top of that, says goodbye to his parents and runs after Elijah. He breaks down any part, you know, anything that can bring him back to where he comes from. He can't plow anymore. He doesn't have oxen, he doesn't have a plow. He destroys his past. He burns his bridges. There's no other option but to follow. Now, practically, how do we disciple? At Shofar Christian Church, there's four main methods of discipling. One is our Sunday services. I like to think of it as every Sunday God speaks to us. And we're like a builder building a building. If you miss a Sunday, you miss a brick. There's a hole in the wall. So that's why I always encourage you to get the downloads. Download the sermon. Get to know what God was saying. Sometimes God will speak about, you know, his word, and then God will speak about love, and 2 weeks later we'll need that brick. We'll need that knowledge. We'll need that compassion. So our main reason of main way of discipling is our Sunday services. So please, if you miss a service, get the downloads there for free. If you can't do that, come speak to me. It costs R5 for a CD. We'll cut you a CD and we'll put the sermon on there. But don't miss out on the sermons. The next big one is our small groups. Are you involved in a small group? If not, you're missing 50% of church. This is where we speak about what God said on Sunday. This is where we share, where we pray for one another, where we strengthen one another. This is where leaders get developed, because the cell leader will take somebody who wants to be developed and give them, you know, a cell to run once in every 2 months or whatever. But small group is also a vital part. And then we come to the encounters. If you start at a new company, you will go through some training. You know, how does the petrol claims work? You know, what's the security plan? Is there a security plan? Where do we go if the building burns down? You go through some practical training, and that is our practical training. To promote the same page thinking, that we're all on the same page. And whether you've done, you know, whether you've been saved for 20 years or for 2 weeks, we go through salvation. We go through baptism. We go through Holy Spirit baptism. We go through essential reading of the Bible, praying, you know, times with God. Whether you know it or not, doesn't matter. We all go through it, because if you want to be part of the church, you'll end up teaching in the encounters. You can't teach in the encounters if you haven't done the encounters, can you? And then lastly, Bible school. We will start again next year with our Bible school. But there's already 2 people that has enrolled for a correspondency Bible school. So just because we don't do it here, it is still a tool to disciple. You can still enroll correspondency. And if you have questions, come speak to me. We would love to show you how to enroll for our Bible school. And you know what? I don't know if you read your membership form, but when you sign membership, you agree to be discipled. You agree to grow. You agree to be discipled. And the jump from being disciple to being raised as a leader is simply, you do the foundations, and then we equip you to facilitate the encounters. Somebody would go through all the encounters, and then they'll come and they'll you know, help set up the coffee mugs. And then we'll give them a module to actually present at the encounters. That is how you grow. That's how you become from a disciple to a leader. And we raise you up so that you can do all the encounters, do the Bible school, so you can do Sunday sermons, you know, preach or, you know, be equipped for the sound, lead worship, so that you too can go out and plant a church. We are not here to be a holy huddle. We're not here to keep each other warm. We're here to change Stanerton. And when we finish with Stanerton, we move to wherever there's not a spiritful church, to wherever God opens the door for us. And sometimes it takes 3 years. Sometimes it takes 10 years. That is why Yakumin and I'm here. Because we were equipped in Shofar, well, she was equipped in Shofar London, then I was equipped in Shofar Pretoria. We connected in Shofar Pretoria and we were sent to Stanerton. And that is what we say. We are called to reach nations, to reach generations. How do we do that? Raising up disciples, raising up leaders, planting churches. Then our core values. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what is our core values. It is the 4 P's. 4 P's. Sibu Sachis. I'll run them through for you quickly. Firstly, our core values is a passion for Jesus. Then it's people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. Wayne, can you help me understand the belief? Let's look at them one at a time. The first one is a passion for Jesus. Basically, what we're saying is we are a Jesus-centered church. That is our bottom line. That is what we're all about. Jesus. We are a Jesus-centered church. Now, I want to read you a couple of verses. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. There's many other examples of the other disciples, how they start their letters. But it's just so significant. Paul, Timothy, Simon Peter, they all use a word called bondservant. Now, let me quickly explain to you what is a bondservant. A bondservant will be a slave that will come to his master and say, I no longer want to be a slave. I want to be a bondservant. The difference between a slave and a bondservant is a bondservant cannot be sold. A slave can be sold. A bondservant cannot be set free. A slave can be set free. A bondservant makes the choice to be a bondservant. A slave is a slave because he got caught somewhere. But what it means is a bondservant would actually say that my life has no purpose outside from serving my master. And then the master will say yes or no, and then he will take the slave, who he decided will be a good bondservant, he will take him to the front door. He will take his ear and he will nail his ear to the door. And he will have to stand there for 24 hours. After that, the nail will be removed and an earring will be put in. Some of the pagan traditions will actually go as far as to, when the master dies, kill the servant. Well, the servant said that his life has no meaning outside from serving his master. And Paul comes, Timothy comes, Simon Peter comes and says, we are bond servants of Christ. And that is our core value. A Christ-centered church. Passion for Jesus. That is our foundation. That is where we start. The next one, people to serve. That just means people are our core business. When we get saved, we don't go to heaven directly. Why not? Because God still has a plan for us on earth. And that plan entails people. Touching people, telling people about Christ, praying for people to be healed, praying for people to be delivered, showing people through our example who our God is. People, people, people. We are farmers and people are our business. Neem hom dolf. Power of belief. The third one. What we are called to do is impossible. But through the Holy Spirit, we are empowered. Through our belief in Christ, we are empowered. And then the last one. And this is also such a vital part. A purpose to pursue. That in Christ, we all have a purpose. We all called to do something. Now, I'm not just talking about church. If you are a farmer and you believe that God has called you to be a farmer, then be a godly farmer. If you're a plumber and you believe that the purpose that God has for you is to be a plumber, then be a godly plumber. We all have a purpose. God has called all of us, whether it's a chef, whether it's a pastor. It's only in modern days that we've separated and sort of make, you know, some jobs are like holy, you know, if you're a pastor or you know, part of the worship team, you know, that's like holy. And being a plumber is not holy. That's junk. Whatever God has called you, that is holy. He has called you to be whatever. Let me quickly read for you. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Whatever God's will is for your life, that is holy. If it is to be a minor, if it is to be a housewife, if it is to be a kindergarten teacher, whatever God has called you to do, that is holy. But make sure that that is what God has called you to do and not somebody else's bank account. Or not somebody else's promise of a big bank account. Whatever God has called you to do, that is holy. And every one of us has got a purpose in God's kingdom. But the catch is there that if we are a farmer, if we're a plumber, if we're an electrician, if we're a miner, if we're a kindergarten teacher, if we believe that that is where God has placed us, then we should be God's representative in those posts. Then we should live, work as if God has sent us there. Make God's difference. Make the decisions that God would want you to make. Fred told the story. For those of you who don't know, Fred is our founding pastor. He's the one who started Shofar Christian Church. He tells the story of how a lawyer came to him once. And he said, yes, he's a Christian, but his job decrees that on a Monday to Friday, he is a lawyer first. He's not a Christian. You cannot be a lawyer first if you're a Christian. You're a Christian first. You're a Christian lawyer, a Christian teacher, a Christian farmer, a Christian student. Wherever you are, if God has placed you are there to promote his cause. You are there to build his kingdom. And that is what we are saying through a purpose to pursue. Every one of us has a godly purpose to pursue. And the scary thing is, most of the times it will look impossible. Most of the times you will think, man, I will never get there. Why do we have core values? Why do we have a purpose statement? Tell the person next to you quickly. Hoekom? There's a couple of reasons. One is vision. To cast vision so that we know where we're going. Accountability. So we can keep one another accountable and say, but you have said, this is what you are called to do. For growth. To stay focused. But the one I want to talk about is benchmark. Our purpose statement, our core values, they are a benchmark. They set a standard of what we want to attain, where we are aiming towards. Now, many of you will know my little target. Now, my target has got some holes in it. Unfortunately, it's not very accurate. I got a new pellet gun and I tried it out. But God's will for our lives is like the bullseye. And sin is not just doing something wrong. Sin is missing God's purpose for our lives. Sin is everywhere else except the little black dot in the middle. That is sin. The Bible actually says in Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the benchmark, the standard of God. We all miss the target. But that is why the purpose statement and the core values is so important. That we have a target, we know where we're going to. That we are following a what and not a who. What do I mean? Simply, many times you think, man, I just want to be a rugby player like. Or I want to be a soccer player like. Or I want to be a pastor like. Or I want to, you know, just be such a successful businessman like somebody else. And that just creates competition that just breaks down. We cannot compare ourselves to people. We need to compare ourselves to God's purpose. We don't need a what, we don't need a who, we need a what. And this is what our purpose statement, our core values gives us. It gives us a what. Where are we aiming towards? Once again, the scary thing is that what we're aiming for is impossible for ourselves. Imagine that you have to go to the Olympic Games, but there's a qualifying time or a qualifying distance, and you are competing in the 100 meters. Now, the world record for the 100 meters is something like 9.15 seconds. What if the qualifying time would be 5 seconds? There just simply will be no Olympic Games because nobody will qualify. It is impossible. But with God, it's not impossible. That is why power of belief is such an important one as well. If we believe that God has called us to change Stanerton, it is possible to change Stanerton. It looks important. We think of the brokenness. We think of the drug abuse. The amount of bottle stores that is sold out every weekend. The chaos that happens on the weekend. Last night, it must have been close to 11, I was telling Yakumin about the sermon, and we just hear these cars are racing down the street. Now, our street, there's stop streets and speed bumps and everything, but they're still racing down the street. I can guarantee you alcohol had something to do with that. But if you think of the chaos in our town, it looks impossible. How can we change Stanerton? Because God has called us to change Stanerton. That is why we are here. That is what we are going to do. And beyond that, we are going to go further. You know, when Jesus left, he said, it is good for us that he leaves because he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he's gone, we will not just do what he's done, but we will go beyond. His leadership took us beyond where he himself was. He raised the dead. We will go beyond. He healed lepers. We will go beyond. He healed the blind. He chased out evil spirits. Whatever he did, we will go beyond. Amen. Also, if we look at David, David was an amazing man. He killed Goliath. David's mighty men didn't just kill a giant, they killed the generation of the giants. They went beyond. We are called not just to reach Stanerton, but to do much more. To reach much more. But the key is that we don't expect one person to do the job. But we all throw our weight behind what God has called us to do. And we run with where God wants us. Every small group, is a little church by itself. Every small group leader is a pastor. That's where you get trained. We actually, after the sermon, going to have a meeting with the small group leaders. And there's a couple of difficult questions that we sent through to them. You know, how are your small group going to grow? Who's the next leader when your small group multiplies? Small groups need to be run as a church, because they've got the same vision as a church, to reach nations and to reach generations. If we didn't have a job, then when we get saved, we'll go to heaven directly. But we've got a job. We have something to accomplish. We have something to achieve. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if we eat, if we drink, if we work as a plumber, if we work as a teacher, if we work, whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. If you study, if you go to school for the glory of God. Study for the glory of God. Work for the glory of God. You are God's ambassador. What's the work of the ambassador? It is to, in another country, promote the country where he comes from's case. And that is what you are. You are an ambassador. Where you're working at, the company, the school, the farm, you are there to promote God's vision. You are there to represent God's vision. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not us as unto men. Whatever you do, if you make food, make it for the glory of God. If you look after cattle, look after cattle to the glory of God. If you raise kids, raise them for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. But I just want to throw in a warning here. I want to make a statement. Everybody's attention. Activity is never a plaasvervanger, a replacement for intimacy. Activiteit is nooit 'n plaasvervanger vir intimiteit nie. Activity is never a replacement for intimacy. So don't get caught in the trap of trying to do and run and achieve and work without the intimacy. Because that is the base, the passion for Jesus, the love we have for Jesus, the intimacy we have with Jesus. That is why it's right on top. Passion for Jesus. That's where we begin. Don't get caught in the trap of trying to achieve, because then you will not achieve. Trying to do it out of your own strength, because then you will do nothing. God is the one who empowers us. Only through intimacy with God. Now that you know the person next to you, I want us to just take 5 minutes and just pray for clarity. Where God wants you and what God wants you to do. So you will have the boldness to know that whether you are a plumber or whether you are a pastor, whether you are a teacher or a street sweeper, if you are there because God has sent you there, that is where you will flourish. That is where God's kingdom will come, and that's where he will work through you. But we're going to pray for one another and just ask God. If the person doesn't know, if the person knows, just pray blessing over him at his workplace. But if the person doesn't know where they are, where God wants them, pray that God will show them. If you are alive, God has a plan for your life. Otherwise, you'll be dead and be heaven and have a huge party up there. But if you're alive, you still have work to do for his kingdom. You still have something to achieve for his kingdom. Kan ek asseblief 'n amen kry? Okay. I'm going to pray for us, and then you pray for one another, and then we have coffee together. Is that cool? Okay. Father, I want to pray a blessing over every person that is in this hall. I pray that, Father, they will really just have a God-full week.